encouragement for women of all ages. We're in the midst of our most asked question series, and one of the questions I've heard for many years from people in all different stages of life is, how can I learn to know God's voice, recognize God's voice, hear God's voice? And there, the Bible actually has a lot to say about hearing the voice of God, so we're going to dive deep into that today. Before we jump in, I wanted to remind you that there's still time to join us at Ellerslie for one of our 2024 discipleship training programs. So I think we have a few spots left in our summer 5 week, our fall 5 week, and our week long program, which is in early August. And those go very quickly. So if you're thinking about joining us, just hop on Ellerslie.com and learn more about those programs or click the link in this podcast description. The discipleship program here is just an amazing experience, and we'd love to see you at Ellerslie this year and invest into your spiritual life. Also, if you haven't yet signed up to stream a simulcast of our 2024 Set Apart Conference, that's coming up June 7th through 9th. But if you sign up for a simulcast, you will have access to the sessions throughout the rest of this year. So you can pick a time that works best for you. You can share the sessions with other women in your life. It's just a great way to really communicate the set-apart message. And I'm really excited to see what God has in store for this amazing weekend. So again, go to setapart.org or click the link in this podcast description for more about our conference. So let's dive into hearing God's voice. It says in John 3:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, that is a pretty powerful statement, that we can hear his voice, that we can know his voice, and we can respond to what he's leading us to do. And a lot of times, there's so much debate in the church today on, you know, are we really supposed to wait for God to speak to us before we make a decision, before we move forward with something, or should we just use our own common sense and good judgment and let God bless our decisions? And again, that's a huge debate in the church today. I want to start out by sharing something that happened to my husband, Eric, before he and I even knew each other. He was a young Christian. He was a camp counselor at a Christian camp. And at the end of the week, all the camp counselors had gathered together. They were out at some Mexican restaurant. And all of these people came from Christian homes, and they had grown up kind of in the mega church culture. And they really, you know, were very put together kind of Christians. And they were all talking about who they were dating and showing pictures of their girlfriend, boyfriend. They were all kind of that early college age. And when they got around the table to Eric, he had really wrestled with whether he should answer the question of who he was dating, who his girlfriend was, that whole thing, because God had really convicted him to wait for God's timing and wait for God's leading before he just rushed ahead into a relationship. And it was one of those really awkward moments, because they said, okay, who are you dating? What's going on in your love life? And he said, I'm waiting on God. Now, everybody kind of drops their conversation and looked at him and like, are you crazy? What do you mean you're waiting on God? That's just insane. And one of the other camp counselors, who was a really well-known guy, his dad was like a state senator, and he was this really popular Christian guy, he kind of got right in Eric's face and pointed his finger at him and said, I totally disagree with you. I believe that God gives us the wisdom to make our own decisions, and then we just ask for his blessing. And Eric's response was, well, even if that were true, I still feel like God knows better than me. And if God lined up 10 women and said, you know, your decision, you pick who you want to marry, I would still ask God and say, Lord, you know me better than I know myself. You decide. This is your choice. I just want to follow your leading. And so again, that idea of waiting on God, letting him lead, letting him actually clearly speak to us, is not the most common idea in the church today. And a lot of times, if we choose to live that way or kind of go down that road of saying, Lord, I expect and trust and hope that you are going to speak to me and lead me and guide me, and I'm not going to just rush ahead with my own decisions, a lot of times you'll even become the brunt of criticism from other Christians, because that's just not a common way we're taught to be in the church today. So if you've ever been confused, it's really, just know that you're not alone when it comes to the idea of waiting for God's leading and hearing his voice, because there have been even books released in the Christian culture over the past few decades which specifically say that, you know, you can't know God's will specifically. He never gives you his specific will. He just gives you general guidelines in his word and parameters to work within. And as long as you're within those parameters, God's going to bless whatever decision that you make. And yet the Bible really does have a lot to say about waiting on God, waiting for his timing, being still before him, letting him lead, not getting ahead of him, being like sheep, following the voice of the shepherd. So that's what we're going to dive into today. One thing that I will say is that Eric did not regret his decision to leave the pen in God's hands, let God write the story, let God guide him and direct him, because the way that our love story unfolded, the way our relationship came together, was so much more beautiful and powerful and fulfilling than a story we could have written for ourselves. And so we personally discovered that principle that Jim Elliot talked about when he said, God gives his best to those who leave the choice to him. So even though that may not be a popular way to go in the Christian culture today, I believe that we really can know God's voice. We can learn to recognize God's voice, and we can be led by God in our daily decisions, in the small decisions, and in the big decisions of life. I remember hearing the testimony of Darlene Dibler, who I've talked about many times on this podcast. She was a prisoner of war because she had been a missionary overseas during the time when World War II first broke out. And so the country she was serving in was taken over by the Japanese. She almost lost her life. She was in a concentration camp. And when she finally was released, after all going through all of that horror, she finally was able to make it back to the United States. And of course, this was long before the days of email and texting and cell phones. So she had no idea how to even really get in touch with her family back in the States. And it was this big adventure just to get to a phone, just to get her mother on the phone. When she finally did, she said her mother's voice came on the phone and said, "Hello, Darlene," just said her name. And she immediately knew that it was her mother, even though she had not heard her mother's voice for, I think it was about 9 years, no communication whatsoever. But as soon as her mother's voice came on the phone, she knew it was her. And she said, "That is the way I know the voice of my father speaking to me as well. I just have spent so much time in his presence. I know him so well. I've learned to recognize his voice so clearly in my life that when he speaks, I instantly know when he is speaking to me." And that really inspired me to realize, you know, if we're not able to hear the voice of God, if his voice seems confusing or foggy or distant or blurry, then we actually have the ability, according to scripture, to draw near to him, to cultivate a listening ear, and to learn how to recognize the voice of God. There was a movie that came out in the 70s called The Hiding Place that is basically the story of Corrie and Betsy Ten Boom, who were in Holland during the time when Second World War broke out and the Germans took over her country, and they were arrested because they had hidden Jews in their home, and they were put into a concentration camp. And what they went through in that camp was just absolutely horrific. And in the movie, it depicts Betsy, Corrie's sister, saying to God in a prayer, "Lord, don't let me hear my own voice and think that it's yours." I think a lot of us are really afraid that if we are trying to hear God's voice and we're just waiting on him and we're being still before him, we're going to actually hear our own voice and just assume and think that it's God. So it's almost easier to not listen for the voice of God because we don't want to get it wrong. And I know I can relate to that. It's really easy to just assume the voice of our own emotions, our own desires, our own thoughts are coming from God. But it says in Isaiah 55:8, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." That's what God says. So we really do need to learn how to distinguish our own thoughts from God's voice. And there are so many voices from the culture, from other people, our own emotions and ideas. And it's really easy to let God's voice become blurry in the background or begin thinking, well, he doesn't really want to speak to me. So we don't even cultivate that listening ear. But remember that verse that I read at the beginning of this episode, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." That is just a very clear statement from Jesus that we can hear and know his voice. And then in the first chapter of James, we are told to ask God when we need specific wisdom for our daily lives. And I love the Phillips translation. I heard this from a message by Corrie Ten Boom, and she used the Phillips translation, which is so clear. It says, "If any of you does not know how to meet any particular problem, he has only to ask God, who gives generously to all men without making them feel foolish or guilty, and he may be quite sure that the necessary wisdom will be given to him." And that is beautiful, because how often do we go through our daily life, go through major life decisions, and feel like we need wisdom from God? And here is a promise in James that if we ask in faith for the wisdom of God, God will generously give us his wisdom without making us feel foolish or guilty. In Proverbs, we're told really clearly not to lean on our own understanding, but to acknowledge him in all our ways and expect him to direct our paths. Now, those scriptures are in direct contrast to the books that have come out in Christianity over the past few decades, which basically just say God does not want to specifically lead you. He just gives you his general guidelines and will in his word, and you just kind of make your own decisions. It is so clear in scripture that God wants to specifically direct our lives, and that we aren't to lean on our own understanding. In the Psalms, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That's in Psalm 32:9. All throughout scripture, it is so clear that God wants to guide us, to direct our paths, to give us wisdom, to show us the way we should go. He wants to be our leader. He wants to be our shepherd, and we the sheep that follow him. And that is an amazing privilege. He does not leave us to figure things out for ourselves. He desires to be intimately involved in the details of our daily lives. And I know for me, whenever I have kind of put him off to the side and said, I can figure this out for myself and just ask for his blessing, that's usually when disaster comes. That's usually when I fall on my face. That's usually when I really, really regret a direction or a path or decision because I wasn't following his lead. I was assuming that I knew best. I was leaning on my own understanding. So the question is, God does want us to hear his voice and know his voice and follow his lead. The question is, are we allowing him to lead us? Are we inviting him to be the ruler of our daily lives and decisions? Or are we trying to keep him in that position of backseat driver, only asking for his opinion when it's convenient and comfortable? A lot of us do that. And then we often complain, oh, God's not speaking to me. He's not leading me. But if we're keeping him as the backseat driver, if we've got the pen and we're writing the story, if we've got our hands on the steering wheel, we're driving the car, he's not going to be clearly speaking to us or leading us because we're kind of usurping his position as the one in control, the one in charge. So let's take a closer look at the biblical pattern for hearing God's voice and discerning his will for our lives and being led by him specifically. In the book, Tramp for the Lord, Corrie ten Boom talks about the way she would make decisions about where to travel and minister around the world because she was an evangelist for the second half of her life until she was in her 80s. And she went all over the world to share her story, to share her testimony of how God was faithful to her during the years of the war. And she would put her Bible and the map on her bed, and she would pray that God would direct her to whatever part of the world she was supposed to go to next. Sometimes he would direct her to a specific scripture that made it very clear where she was supposed to go. And other times she would just be so strongly burdened for a particular country or a people group. And now that may seem like a presumptuous or maybe overly simplistic way to hear from God, but her stories of God leading her are truly remarkable. So for example, there was one time when she felt really strongly called to go to South America, even though she had no contacts there. She didn't know anyone there. She didn't speak the language. No one had invited her to come. She felt like she was supposed to go. So she and her assistant traveled across the world to get there, and they described all the different countries they had to go through and planes they had to take, and they were totally exhausted. They were hungry. They were just totally wasting away. If you can just imagine days and days of grueling travel to finally get there. And when they did arrive, there was no one to meet them. There seemed to be no open doors for where they could stay or who they could minister to. And her assistant kept saying, are you sure you really heard God's voice? Is God really the one behind this trip? And she was so confident. She just said, I know God led us here. I know the voice of my shepherd. I recognize his voice, and I know he called us to go to this country. And so she just continued to say, okay, God, you have us here for a reason. And there was this incredible set of circumstances where her assistant was walking around this kind of village area in the town and knocking on doors and showing Corrie's book, trying to find a place for them to go and stay. And she happened upon a group of pastors who were gathered together kind of in secret because persecution was starting to break out in that country. And when she opened the door, they didn't speak English, but just pointing to Corrie's books, they got really excited, and they invited them to come and meet with them. And I think they found an interpreter to figure out what each other was saying. But they said they had actually been praying that Corrie ten Boom herself would come and encourage them in the time when persecution was breaking out. So it was just amazing to see that she really had heard the voice of God, even though they were all the way on this other side of the world with no idea where to go. They had been led by God, and he continued to lead them every step of the way on that trip. And when I read stories like that, I wonder sometimes, can every Christian learn to hear God's voice that clearly? Or is it just a few people like Darlene Dibler and Corrie ten Boom that have like this grip on how to hear God's voice and how to be led by him? I believe, though, that it is possible for God to personally lead us and guide us. Any of us who are in Christ have the ability to hear God's voice the way those two women did and the way Christians all throughout history have. And it's also clear in Scripture that his leading of our lives is conditional upon the state of our souls. We have to have our heart right with God before we're really going to have the ability to hear his voice. Corrie ten Boom and Darlene Dibler and so many other Christians like them heard God's voice not because they were special Christians, but because they were walking in the biblical pattern for being led by the Spirit of God. So I want to explore two key requirements for hearing God's voice clearly in our daily lives and decisions. And the first one is becoming dependent. Now, some of the books that have come out in Christianity over the past couple of decades really kind of balk at the idea of dependence on God and really promote the idea of independence. So we kind of use the common sense and the wisdom and the mind that God has given us, and we have this independent relationship from God, and God just kind of generally blesses our life. But Jesus clearly tells us in Scripture, without me, you can do nothing. And that means we must be dependent on him. In fact, the whole concept of the abiding life, when he says, cling to the vine, without me, you can do nothing. If you are not clinging to the vine, you are going to be like a branch that is cut off and thrown into the fire. It's not good for anything. It just withers up. And so we have to abide in him as a branch clings to the vine. And that really is what it means to be dependent on him. If we're going to live a fruitful life, if we are going to be led by him in every decision that we make, we cannot have the attitude that says, I will make my own decisions and then ask God to bless them. That's not abiding. That's not clinging to the vine. We are not called to lean on our own understanding and our own wisdom. We're called to be dependent on him, always having a listening ear and a heart attitude that says, not my will, but yours be done. So I would encourage you to just stop right there and really consider, are you clinging to the vine? Are you abiding in Christ? Do you have that surrendered and dependent attitude that says, I don't want to just rush ahead with my own agenda. I don't want to just lean on my own understanding. My heart attitude says, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Because that is the foundation of being able to hear the voice of God. And if you think about it, even Jesus, when he walked on this earth, did not make his own decisions. He waited for the Father to speak to him, to lead him, to guide his every step. Though Jesus had every reason to trust his own judgment and his own reasoning, he deliberately chose to be very dependent on the guidance of his Father. He said in John 5:30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Now, if you think about that statement, it's really profound. He says, I can of myself do nothing. And yet he's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's the same one who said that he could call a league of angels to come and rescue him from the crucifixion if he desired to. But he was submitted to the Father. He was dependent on the Father. He made himself submissive to his Father's will. And that is what allowed him to fulfill the purpose that the Father had for him on this earth. So if we are charging ahead with our own plans and our own agenda without submitting to God and waiting for his guidance, we can't expect to hear his voice or be led by him. And I think a lot of Christian women fall into the trap of rushing ahead, making our own decisions, and then being frustrated that we don't hear God's voice or sense his leading in our life. But it's actually a problem with us. It's not a problem with God. In the book of James, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you don't really know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. So even in those decisions of where to go and what to do and what business to be in and what career path to take, all of those decisions, We are to be totally submitted to God and totally led by God. And as I've often told people, God does not usually give you the 10-year plan or the 20-year plan. Usually he doesn't even give you the 1 or 2 year plan. He gives you one step of obedience at a time. And we have to be clinging to the vine and dependent on him if we're going to even recognize those steps of obedience that he's asking us to take. So if you desire to hear God's voice and be led by him, take some time to let him show you whether you are really dependent. Are you submitted to his will? Are you rushing ahead with your own agenda? Are you abiding in him, or are you just kind of detached from him, putting him in that backseat position? Does your heart really echo the words, "Not my will, but yours be done"? And if you feel like you're struggling with that, let God really work on your heart. Ask him for the grace to surrender everything to him, to lay even your most precious dreams and desires at his feet. And surrendering to him may seem like a restrictive or oppressive step to take, but in reality, it's the path that leads to true life. And I can testify of that in my own life time and time and time again. When you are truly surrendered to him, you'll begin to hear his voice and sense his leading in your life like never before. The second principle from the Word of God that I want to draw your attention to when it comes to hearing his voice is to let God shape your desires. So we've talked about being dependent. Now let's talk about letting him shape your desires. Because another very flawed and popular notion in Christianity today is that we can look at our personal desires to determine God's will for our lives. And again, there are books written that promote that very idea. Eric once talked with a young man who decided and declared that because it was his greatest desire to be a film producer, he knew that's what God had called him to do. And then Eric asked, have you ever submitted that desire to God? And this young man sort of looked at him like, why would I need to do that? And he said, it says in the Bible that God gives us the desires of our hearts, so I already know that this desire is from him. Psalm 37:4, which is pretty much my favorite verse in scripture, says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Now, at first glance, this verse may seem like just a free ticket to do whatever makes you happy. So you just kind of say, what do I desire? What do I feel like? Well, God's going to give that to me. And that's kind of where the name it, claim it gospel came from. But it's a flawed understanding of this verse. It's the sort of expect God to give you everything you want idea. And that was really the mentality that this young man had. He desired to be a film producer. He hadn't taken time to pray about it or to yield that desire to God. He just figured that was what God wanted because that's what he wanted. Let's take a deeper look into what that verse is actually saying. First and foremost, God giving us the desires of our heart requires something: delighting in the Lord. And the word delight in this verse actually means soft and pliable. So in order to truly delight in him and receive the desires of our heart, we have to be soft and pliable to his will and to his ways. If we cling to our own desires, we're not actually delighting in him. So delighting in God does not just mean this kind of mental idea like, oh God, you're wonderful. It's fine to have those thoughts and think that those feelings of praise, but really what it means is a soft and pliable heart towards him. And secondly, this verse says that God will give us the desires of our heart. And give in this verse actually means to deliver or to put. So in other words, as we delight in him, he puts the right desires in our hearts. Now think about how amazing that is. God actually shapes the desires of our heart to match his desires for our lives. It's not about God giving us what we want. It's about the amazing supernatural work of grace that changes our desires to be in alignment with his. One of the ways, as I've said before in this podcast, that you can tell God is shaping the desires of your heart is that you begin to desire things that are very different and strange to the rest of this world. You begin to desire treasures in heaven instead of treasures on this earth. And I remember a moment when Eric and I felt a strong desire to adopt a little unborn child who needed a family. And we already had 2 young children at home. We had a very full ministry life, but for some reason we felt drawn toward bringing this child into our home. We prayed one night, we asked God for the privilege of raising this child. And then we kind of stopped and realized, you know, we're praying for something that's only going to make our life more inconvenient. Why do we both desire this so much? And we realized God was shaping the desires of our heart. It wasn't something we would have naturally asked for, but it was something God had burdened us to pursue. And that baby today is our son. And so that was a prayer that God answered. If you think about the many missionaries throughout history who have felt strong desires to go to places in the world where nobody else wanted to go, Gladys Aylward went to war-torn China because she couldn't find anyone else who was willing to go there and preach the gospel. And Jim Elliot and his fellow missionaries were like little children on Christmas morning, it said, when they wanted to go share the gospel with the Aka Indians, knowing that it may cost their lives. Nobody else even wanted to go near that territory, and they couldn't wait to get in there. Jackie Pullinger could not wait to get into the walled city of Hong Kong to reach the destitute, and this was a filthy, crime-ridden place where even law enforcement didn't want to go. Why would she want to go there? Why did these men and women desire such strange things? Because they were soft and pliable towards God's will, and they had allowed him to shape the desires of their heart. So if you have personal dreams and desires, I encourage you to start by laying them at Jesus' feet and asking him to shape the desires of your heart. He may choose to grant certain desires that are there, such as the desire to get married and raise a family, but it's critical that our desires are first completely yielded to him. Submitting your desires to God can be a very scary thing to do. I think that is because we don't really know him, because if we really knew him, we wouldn't hesitate to give him every area of our life. I know for me, submitting my desires to him was a lot harder earlier in my Christian life than it is now, because I have learned through experience that he is faithful and that his plans for me are always so far beyond any plans I could make for myself. So surrendering to him now is easier than it used to be. And so if that's a struggle for you, really pursue him, seek him, get to know him, and you will find the more you know him, the more you can trust him. If you are willing to take that step of obedience to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I surrender all of my desires to you. I delight in you and make my heart soft and pliable toward where you want to take me, how you want to lead me. You can be sure that God will begin to speak to your heart. It's not always in an audible voice. In fact, very rarely is it in an audible voice, but you will begin to recognize that still small nudge of the Spirit of God leading you forward, giving you caution where caution is needed, giving you wisdom where wisdom is needed, giving you peace where peace is needed. And again, never forget the amazing truth that Jim Elliot expressed when he said, God gives his best to those who leave the choice to him. If you want to know more about waiting on God, just read through the Psalms. There are so many Psalms about waiting on God, being still in his presence, putting our hope and expectation in him to show up, to guide us, to protect us, to be there for us. That is what God is waiting and eager to do if we are willing to let him. Next week, we're going to go into part two of hearing God's voice, specifically in the area of decision making. Meanwhile, I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you'd like to go deeper into living a set apart life, visit us at setapart.org and look at the many resources we have for you there. I pray you have a blessed and Christ-centered life.